Future of Journalism, episode 13. Is the media too powerful and too invasive? Do journalists who work to keep the powerful in check as well need to check themselves? And do the television tabloid tricks like the pursuit of tears by journalists demean journalism as well as their talent? I'm Peter Wilkinson with the Alliance for Journalist Freedom, and these are questions UK journalist John Lloyd, with 5 decades of journalism editing and book writing, wrestles with. In 2004, he published What the Media Are Doing to Our Politics, and in 2017, The Power and the Story. He also co-founded the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism in 2006 at the University of Oxford. John, can you give me a vision of what you think you would like journalism to look like in about 10 years?
In 10 years, I'd like journalism to retain, and this I think is the most important thing, to retain its ability, which means that its funding, in order to do the core thing of what journalists have always said, or have said for a very long time, and that is to hold power to account, to give citizens some kind of comprehensible narrative or narratives about what happens in their society, what happens in their region and their locality, what happens in the world. That is a large task. As we know, it's expensive. It can be done well or done badly, but it's the core thing.
And do you see a way to do that given the pressure journalism's under at present?
Yes, I think I do. I think both in your country and mine, we have fairly well funded, they would dispute that, public service broadcasters. And they too, for all their many faults, have at their core the need to give these kind of narratives. Now, they get things wrong, they're often criticized much more than they used to be, especially from the right, but they do continue, I think, in good faith to give these kind of narratives. So they need to continue. And I think so far, at least, there is a broad and rough consensus in our societies that they should continue, though, of course, there's endless debate about that. Secondly, I think in the private sector, there are a number of corporations who still have that, who provide media services, various kinds, who also have that at their core. The problem, I think, or one of the problems has been that social media, for all its great handiness, has come in and takes the time and also the attention of especially younger people. It breaks people up into individuals and small groups, rather than having, as at the core of both public and private sector broadcasting before, an idea of a community.
I don't understand how traditional media has lost the territory to social media and how it's going to get it back.
It's not going to get it back in the way it did before. What it has, however, got, if one's talking about big publishing, for example, as we're speaking, the collapse of the Afghan government, the rise of the Taliban, humiliation that it's been, as it's been shown, of above all the United States, but also the West as a whole. These things are now being covered not just by journalists from big media, but by a whole legion now of freelance journalists who before hardly existed or existed on the fringes. In other words, what we've called into being are men and women who go out and find stories, and often find stories which enormously complement the big media. They're in the same area as big media. They're covering the biggest stories, but they're doing so in different ways and finding new stories. That's a new thing. At least it's a new in the number of people involved. And that so far has been good. It's been to our advantage.
So I'm going to put a couple of thoughts to you that you've written about in the past. The first is that the media's role is to keep people in power in check, but in fact has become a power and too powerful itself.
Journalism has always been a power, really, even since the very beginning of journalism back in the 17th century. In Western Europe and then in America and elsewhere. It's always been a power because it's had the power of telling people here's the situation, it says. At first, it was very much controlled by governments and by wealthy people. Bit by bit, it got more and more power, and it got the power of the consumers. It could appeal directly to the public. Now, skipping a couple of centuries, it has a huge power, and all politicians, all business people, all people in institutions, all people who are involved in public affairs have to, often as the very first thought they have on the day is, how will this play in the media? And that is a huge power, a huge responsibility, because it does mean then that we in the media are intrinsic, built into the very fabric and working of the states, of corporations, and of private institutions.
Now, implicit in that, in what you just said, is that that power is being misused.
What I've said, and in a book I wrote about 20 years ago, what the media are doing to our politics, is that what media tend to fall into, again, in free societies, is a narrative which says politicians should be distrusted. There was a saying going around, I think, attributed to the former editor of the Sunday Times, Harold Evans, that what you have to ask yourself, young journalist, when you interview a politician is, why is this lying to me? And that, I think, became the attractive to young journalists coming in, because it said, I'm here on a moral mission. I'm here on a mission to get the truth. This man or woman is here to try to obfuscate the truth, indeed, at times, to lie about it. It implicitly and often explicitly downgraded politicians and also all public men and women into at least potential liars. And that was wrong. In my experience, many people in public service, in politics, in management, are trying to do a good job. They do sometimes obfuscate, they do sometimes lie, but so do we. And so we have to be conscious that we are not looking to reveal lies constantly. We're trying to illuminate what these people in public affairs do. We have built into our systems necessarily a robust opposition, at least a potential opposition. We in the media have to remember that we are working alongside, if you like, the opposition.
Yeah. And another aspect of current journalism I know you've got a beef about and you would like to see less of in the future is opinion journalism. We have opinionated people particularly on television here, but the example you use in the UK is Piers Morgan.
Well, it's good that you brought up Piers's name, because he's just been cleared. He was rude about a month or so ago, maybe a bit more, about Meghan Markle, the Duchess, now in the States, and said that he wouldn't believe her in anything she said. But Ofcom, the invigilator for media, yesterday cleared him of any charge, and saying that he was giving his opinion, and he'd every right to give his opinion. However, what Piers also does, and he's a very powerful broadcaster, is to put on shows in which politicians, including former Prime Minister Gordon Brown, and a would-be Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, leader of the Labour Party in the UK, are reduced to tears by quite deliberately bringing out issues of family and of the past, which would bring out tears, which would trigger that sentimental or emotional response, and therefore shows the politician, in this case, the public figure, as vulnerable. People seem to like that. Peers specializes in it. It does seem to me to be a kind of slightly obscene way of looking at people in public life. Some things I think should remain private. People's emotions, sentiments, regrets, I think should be a private space. To put it out on public view and make it a kind of entertainment for the audience seems to me to be wrong, not just morally, but emotionally, for the audience as much as for the person themselves. So while Piers has a real function in journalism, I think what he said about Markle, many people thought, and he put it into words, he's also one who is rather careless about displaying to people the emotional and I think still should be private side of public figures, who, one must say, do it willingly, do it voluntarily, because they believe it makes them more popular.
I doubt that. So what's wrong with that opinion journalism then?
Well, it's not really opinion journalism, it's emotive journalism. It's using the fame of the interviewee, the public figure, the former prime minister and so forth, it's using them as a kind of emotional punch bag. The fact that the emotional punch bag is inviting the punches doesn't make it, seems to me, any better. That we are cheapening our emotions and our ability to understand each other emotionally by making it into a spectacle.
So is it your point that in that case, the two are demeaning each other and demeaning politics and journalism? Is that your point?
Yes, it is my point. I think that it's the wrong thing for an interviewer to do is to deliberately provoke an emotional, in this case, a tearful response. It's the wrong thing for the politician or the public figure to do, to go onto a show knowing that that's what's going to happen, because it's happened before and that's the style, and therefore participating in, colluding in a kind of emotive show in order to demonstrate to his or her audience, his or her constituencies, that they are human beings.
So if I could summarize then, the future of journalism is a journalism that has more respect for the good qualities of politicians as well as exposing the bad, is conscious of its own power, and has less of the tear-jerk television that we're seeing. Is that a reasonable summary?
Yes, it is. It's a better summary than I gave. I think it's essential now that we retain the integrity of public life. And that seems to me to be very important. The more that the media become intrusive, and with social media they do, the more we have to have some notion that private life really is private. And as long as it's legal, straightforward, and honest, isn't tricking people in the public sphere, then private life should get on as best it can and should retain that privacy by not allowing the intrusions of media, whether big media or small or social media.
John Lloyd, it's been very interesting, greatly appreciated, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.